I'll tell you what, you better be ready. This is, can you give me a little bit more volume? This is only the beginning. You're probably wondering, why do you have your, can you give me a little bit more volume? You're probably wondering, why are you typing on your iPhone? Well, let me just hit the send button. Because this is going to a pastor in Baltimore because it says we are staying. So he's in service right now on a Wednesday night in Baltimore, and he's been waiting for my text all day today. I said, just wait till I get to the building. Let me just see. Let me feel the Lord's presence telling me you need to stay, Roy, and go for it. And so he had a sneaky feeling. In fact, last night he says, was it packed out? And I said, yes, it was. He says, awesome, I know the answer already. And I said, but tonight will determine the factor for us. I will text you at 7 p.m. Whoops, it's 8:30. And he said he's going to promote it to everybody there. I do have some news to tell you. I was on the phone today to CBN, and they're interested in what's going on here. So they've asked me, Josh, just a little bit more. They've asked me, can you hear me in the back? Amen. They've asked me just to keep them updated and just tell us what's going on. Do you know right here at Vineyard Church in Kingston, we are at 75 decisions for the Lord right now. Hallelujah. And I just have this sneaky feeling. I just have this sneaky feeling that people are going to be traveling here from all over to come. And you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm wiped. I mean, this is a whole nother revival, you know? I mean, but I'll tell you what. Every time I get behind that keyboard and I worship the Lord, I feel my spirit man rejuvenated just like that. And tonight, if you press into God tonight, I'm telling you, we've been saying this every single day, God will press into you. It's just the way it is. You put it out there. You tell the Lord how much you want Him. He's going to tell you, you ain't going to be able to stand me because I'm going to keep chasing you. Amen. That's the way our God is. Amen? Amen. But anyway, so yeah, so I talked to CBN. And then next thing you know, I get an email today from Sid Roth. How many have heard of Sid Roth? It's supernatural. He always says, hello, Mishpaha. Mishpaha is a Jewish word for family. Hello, family, Mishpaha. Okay. But let me tell you something. We're gonna change gears a little bit tonight. And I'll tell you why. How many people, you're here for the first time tonight? You've never been in any of the meetings. I want you to lift your hands really high. You've never been. This is your first meeting. Will you look around? And I always ask everybody, who's driven farther than 4 hours to get here tonight? Let me see your hand if you're here from 4 hours away. Okay, 3 hours away. You've driven more than 3 hours away to be here tonight. My friends, would you stand to your feet? These guys, this is evangelist Steve Smith from Australia and his wife, Cher. They have traveled. They have traveled all the way from New Hampshire. I called him last night and I said, Steve, people keep coming every night. He goes, yeah, right, mate, I'm coming down. I'm hungry for God, you know. And I'll tell you what, you drive 4 hours, you're going to get what you came for. There's no doubt about it. But how many have driven 3 hours away? 2 hours away you've driven to be here tonight. Where are you from, dear lady in the back?
I'm from Highland Falls, New York.
Highland Falls, New York. You drove from... You drove from West Point to be here tonight. Awesome. Anybody else 2 hours away? Where are you from? Come again? New Jersey. Wow. Where are you from, sir?
Rochester, New York.
Rochester, New York. And if you don't mind me asking, how did you hear about the meetings?
Friends in Kingston.
Friends in Kingston. It's good to have friends in Kingston. Praise God. There's a couple that live here in Kingston. Well, they're not here right now, but they started a radio station here. And their names are Bruce and Mary Winchell. Well, guess what? They're at my mom and dad's house right now in St. Petersburg, Florida. And somebody called down there today, and they said, you got to tell them about Bruce and, or they called Bruce and Mary, and they said, yeah, we're at Roy's parents. And I don't know who it was, but they were like, what? Yeah, we were transported, you know. It was awesome. But anyhow, we're going to keep going here, and we're changing gears a little bit tonight because we need to focus on why we come here, first of all. Why are we coming every night? If you think it's just to have another set of meetings, I've had enough. We're coming because we're coming to get set on fire. Now, what do we do with that fire? Do we keep coming and coming and coming and getting more fire? Next thing you know, you're burned up, nothing left of you except your ash. What happened to you? I was at those fire meetings, man. The purpose for the fire is to take it out into the streets. So, how is Kingston going to get shaken with the fire of God? You and you and you and all of you need to take what you've been given and give it out. So we've decided we are going to take it out to the streets starting tomorrow morning. And we're going to infiltrate Kingston. Now, some of you are like, praise God. When you go out there, I'll be behind you praying for you. No. You're going to go out and do it. Jesus said to us, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, people are worried about what people say. Folks, it doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what they think. There are people right now in this town, I've seen them as I've driven here every single night, that are hanging out, not always outside, because it's cold. But there are people, you can look on their faces, there's depression, there's anger, there's bitterness. Some of you that came in this room tonight and you've been in the meetings all week, you were full of that yourself. But when you get in the presence of the Lord, what happens? Instant change. Amen. Thank you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so we want to take this out into the streets and we're going to train you how to do it effectively. And I'll tell you right now, it's not going to be like this. Have you ever lied? You ever blaspheme the Lord? You ever used His name in vain? Have you ever looked at a woman with lust? Yes. Have you ever... Have you ever stolen anything? Yes. Well, by your own confession, you're a lying, thieving adulterer. Want to go to heaven? People are not going to come to Jesus on that kind of basis. I'll tell you right now. The way they're going to come is by the love of the Lord. That's exactly how He taught us to do it. And it's people that are full of fire, not dead people. Deadheads can't raise the dead. Empty minds can't lay hands on empty minds. You get empty results. You must go when you're full of the fire of God. In the upper room, they were filled with the Spirit, and then they went out and they won 3,000 by day. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Now, how many here are from this town? I want you to raise your hands right now. Okay? Folks, the only way people are going to feel the love of Jesus, The only way people are going to get healed is because you go out there and take it to them. Now, this is not my city. This is not my town. But I'm going to work. And we're going to take it into the city. And we need men and women that are full of the fire of God to go out there and do the work of the ministry. There's another scripture in Luke. It says, where are the laborers? We leave it up to the evangelists. Most evangelists, they feel like they can just have the meetings at night but never go out in the streets. 2.5-3 years ago, my wife and I, that's how we started the ministry. We went out into the streets. Most people are looking to speak behind a pulpit and have a church or have some kind of public speaking, but they never want to go out in the streets and one-on-one with somebody. Folks, there's a whole town here that can be won for the Lord. Do you realize what you have right here in this town? Now, this is where the rubber hits the road, because most of us are learning in the church. Most of us are learning in programs. Don't get in people's face. Don't rock the boat. Don't make any waves. Folks, we're here to flip that sucker over. You must know who you are in Christ. And when you do, and I don't mean you have an arrogance, it's a godly boldness that's on your life, you can look at a person straight in the eye and tell them, you need Jesus, man. I want to pray for you. I'm telling you. And I'm not talking about just praying for some weak little prayer, laying hands on them and seeing a tumor fall off of their stomach, seeing them get up out of a wheelchair and walk. That's what we're going to do this week. If you think we're just going to throw a track up somebody's nose, get over it. Build a bridge. That doesn't win people to the Lord. Now, sometimes it does. Don't get all upset with me. Well, brother, I was led by a track. You're one in a million. Like somebody's there, That's a cool little caricature. Oh, my God. Folks, that doesn't happen. Very, very seldom. And I don't know about you, but I want to be effective. And when you look somebody straight in the eye and you tell them that Jesus has a plan for their life, that God has a plan for their life, and you mean what you say, it will change people's lives. When my wife and I started out years ago, we would go into the streets of even Binghamton, New York, and Horseheads, New York, and we'd go all through this place. People say, Roy, it's dead ground. It's the hardest ground. It's a preacher's graveyard. Good. I need some dead people to work with. I got a bunch of people that think they know what they're doing, and they ain't getting nothing done. Good. If I didn't have dead people to work with, I wouldn't have a job. It's great job security to have a dead people. And let me tell you something about dead people. They're the easiest ones to light on fire. You think of a piece of wood. If you soak that thing in water and you saturate it, saturate it, saturate it, you can't light the thing. But you get a dead piece of wood that's been sitting there for a long time, no water's gotten to it, no humidity, and you go, it goes. Set on fire, burns out all their crap. Oh, I said it again. People need to feel the presence of God, not just talk about it, but that is why we feel so stagnant in our Christian walk, because we're not actually doing what the Bible says to do. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. When you got saved, you became an instant evangelist. Do you know that? Oh no, I'm a teacher. Oh, no, I'm a prophet. Well, what happens when the person's coming out of a Walmart and they need a prayer because something's wrong with their neck or something's wrong with their head, or maybe they need a prayer and blessing, and they say, would you pray for me? Well, I'm a teacher. I would, but I don't really have a healing gift. There's a revival going on. you know, I could bring you tonight because I'm a worm, basically, and I don't know. Okay, let me just bring you in on something. I'm a wimp. Okay, so I really don't think I could lay hands on you. Folks, please. Jesus said to the disciples, go ye therefore in all the world and preach the gospel. When you got saved, you told everybody in the pueblo. You wouldn't shut up when you first got saved. Think about it. You had such an encounter with the Lord, all of a sudden you go around to somebody, let's say they had a headache. Wouldn't matter because you were saved. I got a headache. That's all right, I'm saved. Come here. Jesus! The guy would be like, oh my God, my headache's gone. I know, I'm saved. Your car wouldn't start. You just got saved last week. You go into your car, you go to start up. You're like, in the name of Jesus, start! Sorry, Ford. I drive a Ford, sorry. Now, 10 years later, somebody's got a headache. Take some Tylenol, dude. I ain't got any faith. That's the truth. You get inside your car, you're frustrated. You start casting out the spirit of solenoid and distributor cap and spark plugs. You never had any fire to begin with anyway. Why did I put you inside my engine? And come out! No, don't do that. That's why I won't start, bro. Nobody's looking around. You figure your Pentecostal faith doesn't work, so you look around and you go, Come on, baby. And nothing happens. Why? You've lost your faith. You've lost your faith. Some of you feel intimidated when you walk out and you want to tell somebody about Jesus. I understand that, so did I. But let me tell you something. It is the reason that you were put on this earth. God has one thing in his mind, redeem the lost, redeem the lost, redeem the lost, redeem the lost. He's not thinking about anything else. He wants to redeem that which was lost. And if we don't do it, there's nobody that's going to do it. I'll just tell you right now. If the church does not do it, nobody's going to do it. And people will be lost forever. That's the purpose of these meetings. Not just so you can be filled up, go home and feel better for the next few months. No. You're given the fire to give it out. How many of you have been blessed this whole week that you've been in these meetings? Has the Lord touched your heart?
Yes.
Have you felt something stirring up on inside?
Yes.
There's a reason why there's a stir. God always stirs his people so he's about to do something. He always stirs his people before he's about to do something. And right now, you have to believe in what God is saying. You have to believe that there's a purpose and a reason that you're here. It's not just saying it's because we feel so insignificant, so we say things that make us feel better. No, hear my words. God designed you for a purpose and a plan that he has for your life. He's not left one of you out of the mix. Not one of you. He said he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Means you're not done. You're still his workmanship. We're all being worked on right now. No matter where we are in this life, we're all being worked on right now. God is moving things around in our heart so that we can hear him clearer. The voice of a stranger, I shall not follow. There's lots of voices today. There's lots of sounds today. But is it from God? And I hear a sound. If you listen with your ears to the Spirit, you can hear the heartbeat of God. I was in my shower today, where I am every day. And I slipped on a piece of soap. No, I'm just kidding. And I was just getting really quiet before the Lord. Something I've learned in my life is you've got to shut everything down when you're trying to hear the Lord. You cannot turn your cell phone off. Close the door, lock it, and just be quiet and listen. What's that scripture? Be still and know that I am God. The enemy's making all kinds of noise right now. That's why he's the prince and power of the air. What flows through the air? Frequencies. What frequency? Sound. What kind of sound? Sounds that can influence you. And you must hear the sound of heaven. The sound of heaven must take over the sound of the flesh. Just take your hands right now and put them on your ears. Close your earlobes real quick. There's a sound from heaven. Sometimes you got to shut it all down and say, God, I am focusing in on you right now. I've got to hear your voice. The one thing, one of the things that the body of Christ is lacking is having the mind of God. If you don't have the mind of God, how are you going to get through this life? You're just going to do it by yourself. I'm telling you, the steps of a righteous man, they're ordered by the Lord. There's a reason for that. Like, for instance, us even planning this trip here into Kingston. I was in my office down in Florida, looking at my schedule, looking at all these invites, looking at all these phone calls and emails that we had received, getting before the Lord and waiting. And I would take almost 3 weeks to make any decision on anything. And I mean, people were calling like, why aren't you responding to the email? Why aren't you excited? This is a big church. And da, 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 da. I says, you know what? I don't want to go to the big church. What difference would it make if I went to a church of 20,000 that when I get to heaven, only 150 of them ended up in heaven? People think they're Christian because they go to church. Let me test that theory out. I'm going to go sit in a garage. I guess I'm a car. That doesn't make you a Christian because you go to church. Because you can miss the voice of God too. Case in point, Judas Iscariot walked with Jesus and lost his life. Did you hear me tonight? We must get closer to the Lord and not pull away. These are the times. I'm telling you, you've got to take advantage of these meetings and press in as hard as you possibly can and lock everybody out and say, I am touching heaven tonight. And when you do, your spirit man is being fed. And you're shutting the flesh down and you're telling the flesh to hush. Some people do all this fasting. It's really not that necessary. Did you know that? Oh, yeah, I just said that in this church. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I encourage fasting, but fasting's for a lot of people. Some people need to go on a fast. Because fasting doesn't move God. Did you know that? Fasting moves you. When you shut down the voice of hunger, you shut down the voices on the outside, you're listening more to the Spirit. And you can hear the Spirit speaking to you. Prayer, did you know prayer actually doesn't even necessarily move God all the time? It mainly moves you. Case in point, David is sitting in the cave being chased after by Saul because here he is, the king of Israel. He had the oil poured on him. He was anointed. And what happened after he was anointed king of Israel? I'm sorry, anointed king of Israel with the oil. Did he immediately go and become the king of Israel? Where'd he go? He went back to the sheep. All God's people say, amen. He went back to the sheep and he took care of the sheep. And all their And then he comes and he serves Saul and he plays the harp and drives out a few demons. But then a while later, years later, he finds himself in a cave, and the very man he tried to serve and help out is now chasing him because of jealousy, because they're all singing about how much David can kill people and how he's got his thousands, but hey, David's got his 10,000. You know, he can kill 10,000. Saul, he just killed 1,000. David can kill tens of thousands. And he could. Let's not forget, he killed a bear with his bare hands. So if you ever see a bear, you got to make sure you put on your bare hands. Okay, that's terrible. All right, some of you need to lighten up just a little bit. But he did tear a lion's head apart with his bare hands. Now your mind's stuck on bare hands. Y'all are, I can see you right now. You're looking at these big, huge, grizzly looking. Of course he tore the lion up. He had his bare hands on. But he killed a bear and he killed a lion. Folks, before he killed the bear and the lion, I think he killed the fox. Are you listening? He killed the fox first. And I don't think for one second that he just happened to have this slingshot and the first time he goes to fight against a Philistine, he throws a stone the first time. I'll bet you anything he was down at the creek every single day aiming at stuff and just honing his gift and practicing. Why? He knew one day he's going to be in battle. Hello, he was anointed king of Israel. The king always goes into battle. Does he not? Why is he king? Because he stands as a leader. So he was honing his gift. Prayer all of a sudden became a major part of David when he's in the cave, because he's not only prophesied to that you'll become the king of Israel, he's anointed king of Israel by Samuel, the prophet. And now he's in the cave, and while he's in the cave, you read Psalms, and we all read it like it's a nice little flowery message. It's just a nice little, yea, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I shall fear no evil. For thine is the... I mean, come on. Let me tell you something. You read some of the Psalms. He starts out his chapter. Oh God, why hast thou forsaken me? Can we sing that song this morning? Would you play that again for us? Oh God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh God, why hast thou forsaken me? He starts off his prayer from a defeated position. Are you listening tonight? He's three people. Let me try this church over here. He starts off his prayer in a defeated position. Oh God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you allowing my enemies to triumph over me? That's how he starts in Psalms. But then in the middle of the prayer, he says, you promised me that you would destroy my enemies. And now he's reminding God what he already said in his word. And by the end of the prayer, he says, you are a strong tower and the righteous run in and are saved. Now, what just happened there? I would say that David encouraged himself in prayer and that prayer was for him, not necessarily the Lord. Because he needed to begin to remind his spirit, you are called of God, you have an anointing from the Lord, and there was a prophet there that spilled oil on your head, and you were anointed king of Israel. Do you realize who you are? Don't pray a prayer of defeat. You are a victor. You are an overcomer. You are going to make it because the Lord thy God is with you, and when you were in the field and there was a lion, you ripped it apart. When there was a bear, you ripped it apart. And when Goliath stuck up his ugly head and begin to blaspheme the Lord, you took a slingshot, you nailed him right between the eyes, and you cut his head off. Now stand up. God is with you. Can you say amen? And when a person realizes who they are in Christ, it does not matter how you feel. It does not matter what the environment is. Because of what you carry on the inside of you, you can change the environment. The Bible says, greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. I'm speaking to somebody's spirit here tonight. Because we've forgotten who we are in Christ. Why is there so much defeat going on? We have forgotten what we have available to us. Do you understand something? That when Moses led 3 million Jews out of Egypt, Moses could have never ever done that unless he went into Egypt and lived there. And took on their mentality. I hear a lot of sermons preached. Oh, we're trying to leave Egypt. You need to go back in and learn some things. Because Israel would have never been delivered by anybody else unless they took on the mentality of the Egyptian. Why? The Egyptians owned all the gold. The Egyptians plundered everywhere they went. They expanded their borders. Why? They were fighters. They were warriors. Israel was defeated all the time in their own speech. They were slaves and they lived like slaves. I was telling Pastor Vaughn, man, you put me in a box and you put bars on it, I'm going to gnaw the sucker down. Or I'm going to watch you for 23 days. And when you're not looking, I'm going to trip you or something and grab your keys and then lock myself out and put you in there. Heaven suffereth violence. The violent take it by force. The reason people aren't seeing much victory in their life is they're not taking force. Now, what's that got to do with getting people saved? You listen to me. That's where we're going. No, it doesn't seem to me. I don't see the streets flooded with Christians walking up to people, laying hands on the sick. That's what we're supposed to do. What do you want to do? People have a great life. Here it is. Ready? I'm going to work 70 years, rest 10, and then die. That's an awesome future right there. Where do I sign up? I'm sorry. As long as I got breath in my lungs, I know the Lord's called me. I'm going to use everything I have, every strength, every resource, every money that I have, every single opportunity to try to tell somebody about Jesus. Because my blood, okay, is not going to be mixed with somebody else's blood that's on my hands. I'll tell you right now, if I'm standing in front of a people, they're going to know about Jesus. And so should you be, because the Lord is going to ask you for an account of what you did with your life. Did you just keep on going to church services Sunday morning after Sunday morning? Then you went to conference after conference after conference after conference. My God, I'm conferenced out. I mean, when a person first gets saved, they're so full of faith, they just do everything, and then they get around a Christian. They're full of faith, and then they get around a Christian. And a Christian comes and says, well, you know, you're supposed to pray in tongues for an hour every morning before you wake up. And the new guy is like, I didn't know I was supposed to do that. Oh, yeah, listen, you're in luck. There is a tongue-speaking conference this weekend. You need to come with me. So now the guy goes there and they just sit there for an hour. Sounds like a boat taking off in the water. It does, doesn't it? You want to go faster? Now they learn how to speak in tongues. But they get up, they haven't shaved or showered yet, but thank God they went to that conference, because now they're going to spend the first hour from 6:30 in the morning till 7:30 speaking in tongues for an hour. Now they get that all in their life as a Christian. And now they run into another Christian. Well, you're supposed to put the armor of God on for an hour before you wake up in the morning. I didn't know I was supposed to put put on any armor. What's armor? You're in luck. I'm going to an armor conference this weekend. They're going to put on the breastplate of righteousness. The belt of truth. The helmet of salvation. Now this Christian who just like got saved was laying hands on everybody. They were getting healed. They were leading others to Christ. Now they get to this conference, and now before they get up and shave or shower, they spend 6:30 to 7:30 praying in tongues for an hour. Then they pray from 7:30 to 8:30. They're putting on all the armor, and they haven't shaved and showered. But that's the least of their worries, because there's another Christian coming. And they just came from an oil conference. Oh, you got to put oil in your house, man. You got to put oil all over your house. The demons don't need to stay in there. And of course, in some of these conferences, they teach you to like douse your place with Crisco. And of course, the demon ain't going to stay. The demon comes in, he's like, whoop! Out he goes. Then he comes back with seven more, and they do a slip and slide. Woo! You got to check this house out, guys. Come on. Come on, Legion. Legion, come on. Woo! Now you wake up in the morning, you pray in tongues for an hour. Shandara ba 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 ba. You put on the breastplate. You got your oil out, your... That's the least of your worries. Another Christian comes along. He just came from a Watchtower conference. You got to be the watchman to look out for your city, because you are the gatekeeper. Now you come home from the conference, you got your little figurine of the little soldier. It's got an alarm clock on it so it can wake you up to start out your tongues and your... Now you wake up, 6:30 to 7:30. Next thing you know, you're putting on all your armor. You got your oil out. Extra slippery tonight, Lord. Then you stand on your front porch. You're in your underwear. You haven't shaved or showered yet. Your boss calls you. Where are you, man? I'm almost finishing my shift. You haven't started yet. Get your butt in here. And I finally just realized something. I don't have to do all that nonsense. You know why? The Bible says you pray without ceasing. And why do you have to put the armor on? Why don't you take it off in the first place? And the oil of God is already, it fills up in you every morning. You don't have to touch your house with it. You are the oil of joy. Hello. And watchtower. When you get out of your house, look around once or twice, get in your car and go. And the reason time after time after time we get so bogged down with legalistic things, why do you think there's no power flowing? You're spending so much time doing all this stuff, it's not accomplishing nothing. Are you listening to me? And I have come up with a conclusion that that is basically the lack of the anointing in your life. That's why we go and do all this other stuff, because it makes up for the lack of the anointing. Remember the prophets of Baal and Elijah? And they said their God was going to send fire down. Elijah just stood there. What was the prophets of Baal doing? They're ripping themselves, their shirts open. Please! I don't believe in you, but please do something! Nothing's happening. Then they do their little Jericho march. Please! We're like that. Your car doesn't start. You do a little Jericho march. Come on. Elijah goes, okay, you guys done with your little ripping? And okay, great. Here's what we're going to do. You want a bucket of water? Okay. Lord, send your fire. I win. Come on. Come on. When you know who you are through Jesus Christ, he that's within you is greater than he that's in the world. You don't have to do all that stuff. When you know who you are in Christ, every demon knows that and they flee from you. Can you say amen? I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 2. We are going to go out in the streets tomorrow. Is Pastor Vaughn in the building? If somebody could, let me talk to Pastor Vaughn here in just a minute. We have flyers here we want to pass out to you to give out to somebody, not just to take home. But if we're going another night tomorrow night, how many would hand out a flyer if you were given one? Wow. There you go, Pastor Vaughn. Yeah. Awesome, yes.
You encouraged me to print these out.
Good job.
The gospel winning script.
That's it.
I don't have a mic. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Sorry.
Sounds more booming when you use this.
Thanks, buddy.
Praise God. Roy just encouraged me to quickly go on to Rodney Howard Brown's website. Remember I mentioned earlier about in the last 22 months, they've led 825,000 people to the Lord? Well, I hate to exaggerate, but they did it using this.
That's it.
Horrible, isn't it? And you don't have to put this on before you wake up.
That's right.
In case you thought I wasn't listening.
No, I knew you were listening.
We met a young boy. He was 13 or 14 years old in Florida at the conference. Hmm. He uses this. He's led 3,000 people to the Lord. A 14-year-old, just a little guy like this. And all it is it says, you know, has anyone ever told you that God loves you and that he has a wonderful plan for your life? And then you ignore their answer. That's the bit I like. Don't answer their question or their answer. Just ignore what they say and carry on. Yeah, it's true, because, you know, the devil is the lord of the argument. Does anyone know that?
That's right.
Are you sure you know that? The first thing he ever said was, "Did God say?" And started the argument. So it says, you know, if you were to die tonight, this very second, do you know for sure that, et cetera, et cetera. And all I'm saying is those of us that can go out tomorrow, I want to give you one of these tonight. So we just done them, just print them a little cardstock. We ran out of cardstock, so we don't have enough for everybody. But those who can come tomorrow afternoon, just stand up quickly at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
Who can come tomorrow afternoon?
2 p.m.
I want us especially...
Okay, this is... Let me interrupt you for 1 second.
Yes, sir.
This is absolutely amazing. Folks, I've been in churches of 500 people, and less than half of who just stood up now will stand up. That's amazing.
It's true, yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
I wanted to point that out.
So what I want to do, now what I want to do quickly is we want to hand you one of these flyers and one of these. I need somebody who will actually take responsibility for putting the flyers in the gas station at the road, in Stewart's, in Quick Check. Who'll do that for us? Who's a good flyer? James, you got the job. Come out quickly. Praise God. Thanks, buddy. In fact, James, you take some of these and give one to everybody who's standing up. Jimmy, come and help me, mate. These guys are already guys who love to go on the streets. James came back from Virginia on Monday. Was it Monday, James, you got it? Monday? I love the way he calls me sir. I just like it. Sorry. Yes, sir. It was Monday, sir. It's all right. I'm nearly 60. You can call me sir. And now I want everybody that's standing to just get one of these. And whatever's left, James, if you can hand them out to everybody who's standing. Whatever's left, we'll. But the point is, we'll have some more printed for tomorrow night because you can take them to you. But they're on Rodney Howard Brown's website. All you got to do is I just printed them off right now. Run them through some quick cardstock. I want you to take them tonight so you can read it through a few times, and so you can get the flow of it. Because when you're led by the Spirit, that we don't want to give you some dead letter in your hand. It's just a tool. Is that okay? Tools are good. You know, hammers are a very useful thing, but they're no good when they're just stuck in your pouch. You've got to get them out and know how to use them. So I want to encourage you. Did everybody get one? And I didn't mean to interrupt there, Roy, but
no,
I just wanted to put this in your hand. And, you know, we just don't know exactly what God can continue to do. And it's got everything to do with how we respond to the word. Remember what I said earlier? Some of you may not have been here. Let me say it again. We cannot receive what God is pouring out here and consume it for ourselves.
Right.
We must sow what God is giving us now.
Yes.
We must sow it, or next week, next year, you will not have what you've received now. Do you understand? Because you will have eaten your own seed, and therefore you will have nothing in the future. So that's why we've got to sow now. We've got to move now. We've got to react now. We've got to come against the spirit of fear. We've got to come. You know, I'd like to remind you, those of you that don't know, that Jesus Christ, I don't believe Jesus was crucified in a nice Renaissance loincloth. I believe he was crucified naked and ashamed. And he took my shame. And many of us, we're very good with English. I'm not, but some Americans are. And listen to the way they pronounce fear. Listen. Embarrassment. And they pronounce fear, what, quiet type. You see? But what they're actually saying, that's what they're actually saying. They're actually saying, I'm chicken scared to share Jesus. The Reformation broke open on the truth of Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to salvation, to those who believe. But to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it, the gospel, the power of God is revealed. For as it is written, the just must live by faith. And the reality is, they cannot hear unless there's a preacher. And there cannot be a preacher unless they are sent. So you can pray all you like Roy's been saying. But unless you actually put feet to your faith, then our city and your city will never change. And it's not his job and my job, it's our job. Are we okay with that? You sure now?
Thanks, Roy.
You're welcome.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Praise God. I want you to quickly turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. Before we give you an opportunity to give tonight in the offering and sow into revival, I want to clear something up. My wife just reminded me. She said, did you tell these people that we're going to go one more night? And I said, yes. And she reminded me about what we talked about. We're actually not going to go one more night. We're actually going to go the whole weekend. So, if we do that, and I have to see that this body that's coming right now to these meetings, that you're going to get on board for this city, because if we're going to work, we cannot do this alone. How many can say amen? We can't do this without the body of Christ rising up and doing what she's called to do. Fire by now, not bleh. Fire by night, save by day. Are you with me?
Yes.
We have to do this. So I'm asking that everybody in this room, you call up your friends, call up your family, call up your loved ones, call up the ones that aren't saved. When you go out in the streets, call people up, tell them, give them flyers, let everybody know, email everybody, get on your websites, your Facebooks, your MySpaces, all that stuff, and send out the message that revival has come to Kingston. Because I'm telling you, we're in our, do you realize this is our seventh meeting? Yeah. I mean, almost every meeting has just been unbelievable. Worship has lasted 2.5 hours some nights. Last night, we sang in tongues for 30 minutes. We had people coming up to us saying, I haven't felt that in years. We've had people healed. A man testified here that he could all of a sudden smell when he couldn't smell for 7 years because he had his septum removed. God is doing stuff in here. There's a woman here tonight. Her knees, well, I don't know if she's here tonight. Yeah, you are. Your knees were healed. And she got on her knees and kneeled, and she was not able to do that for 7 years? 5 years. And she kneeled right now. My wife had a word of knowledge, went over and prayed for her. Things are happening. Can you imagine your loved one that you would love to get inside of this atmosphere and have God wreck their life, and it'll change your whole family? And then we get you set on fire. We light everybody else on fire. Next thing you know, the mayor's calling up. What's going on down there in Kingston? Oh, revival. What if New York State was to break out into full-blown revival that began to touch the whole counties all around? I mean, is anybody ready to stand up and begin to take the torch that God's given us and go ahead and just blow a path of revival across this great city of Kingston? Three people. Come on, is there anybody that wants to see revival in this town? Come on, stand to your feet, say, God, I want revival! Oh! Jesus! And I'm telling you, they will write it up in the papers, and it will go on the radio, and you will see it in the supermarkets, and you will get run in with people that have posters and flyers and people leading people to Jesus right here on the streets of Kingston. I'm telling you, this town won't even know what's about to hit her. We heard the story last night that a fire came and burned this whole place down. Back in the 1700s, the whole town of Kingston, the only place that was burnt down in the United States, right to the ground, the whole city. The gods build it back up, and guess what? Every time something's about to happen in the spirit, something always happens in the natural. Do you know that we're on our way to Australia in March? Supposed to be. And they have had floods and fires. Every time my wife and I, before the Lakeland revival happened, there were floods and fires all over the United States. Wasn't there? Think about it. Before April, there were floods and fires all throughout the United States. Folks, something's about to take place. I'm telling you by the Spirit of the Lord, you better get ready. You ain't seen nothing yet. You better get ready. Things are about to change. Your family's about to be shaken right to the very core. Are you ready? Amen. You may be seated. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Is that right?
Yeah.
And I said that. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 9. You guys take care of the ring on my 2 Corinthians 9. I'm sorry. I know I said 6. You said 6, brother. I've lost my joy now. How many of you know where 2 Corinthians is? Very good. Can you fix that ring just a little bit? There we go. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver.
Amen, brother.
And God is able to make all, say all. God is able to make all grace abound toward who? You. That you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. And now, I'm in verse 10 of 2 Corinthians 9. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Do you realize when you give that it causes you to go into a mode of thanksgiving towards God because you're cutting away some things that you've been holding on to for a while? How many can say amen to that? It actually leads you into a direction of thankfulness to the Lord. It actually takes care of some situations for you because we fret all the time, you and I, over money. Why? Most of us are in debt. I got a great solution. Guess how you can get out of debt? Pay it off. What a concept. We read in 1 Deuteronomy 28. Nobody got that. There were people going, oh yeah, what does it say? There's no 1 Deuteronomy. God bless you. In Deuteronomy 28, it's said in there that we are to be the head and not the tail. That he has called us to have the blessing so they would come and overtake us. But the majority of people, and not just people, but evangelists, teachers, prophets, pastors, all these ministers, we seem to lack a lot of times because we don't understand the purpose of giving. It's to free stuff up within you and I so God can use you. That's why when you fast, or as you say in here, fast, because you have an English pastor, it takes away from you where you begin to draw upon the source, which is God. When you realize that God is your source and what your hands can do, it's not your source. Who do you think got you the job? Who do you think got you the raise? Who do you think blessed you to have increase? The Lord. Why? So you could have more stuff? No. So you could be a blessing to bless others. How many want to be a blessing to bless others? Do you know the only way you can do that is when you give? When you give, you are opening yourself up for a blessing. And when you do it with the right heart and the right motive, I'm telling you, blessings are coming your way. They have already been sent out on your way, coming for you. Daniel prayed in the lion's den. And it took a while to come. And the angel finally appeared and said, I'm sorry we didn't get here sooner. We were in a fight. Which means your blessings are coming anyway, even if there's a couple blocks. They're just trying to knock them down. And then they go through and then they get you. The blessings are the same way. But you must apply these principles in order for them to work in your life. It's not enough just to say, well, I just love to give and not give. It's not enough to say, well, I believe in Jesus and not go out on the streets and tell people about Jesus. It's not enough. You must enter into the principles of the Lord for them to work in your life. I realized years ago, God told me, son, when everything means nothing to you, that's when I'll give you everything. Why? Because I won't be attached to it. So when my wife and I, 4 years ago, a lot of people have already heard this story. This is for the benefit of those that are here for the first time. My wife and I, we set out 4 years ago, gave up our home. We didn't have to. We decided to because we were already ministering up here in the north, right here in the state of New York. And we were traveling so much, and we were paying rent for a home down there. And we said, this is it. It's time to give it away. Let's get out of it. Let's give everything we have inside of our home away. We had some nice furniture. We had some nice stereo equipment, and I had suede couches with Africa print on them, and I had all kinds of stuff, man. DVD players, 7 TVs or something like that. I had stuff. Stuff. I say the word stuff, and you got to make that face, stuff. Because that's how much stuff us Americans have. We have the pack rat spirit. It's the spirit of Mickey. Come out, Mickey. Oh, thank you, Roy. I'm tired of living in here. You got a lot of stuff. You got to cut some of that stuff loose. So we did. We gave it all up. And we called up people in the city and said, come take whatever you want in 45 seconds. They came and took everything they wanted. Fastest movers in the world, man. And we stepped out and we began to trust God. And we begin to apply principles in our own lives. And when you got 2 children on the road and you're homeschooling and you're going around with your wife and your 2 kids in a truck, pulling a trailer, going up from Florida up to Maine, Maine down to Florida, and doing about 9 times in a 3-year period, and a couple times venturing out to Tennessee, couple times venturing out to Atlanta, Georgia, some places like that. I'm telling you, you have to trust God. And my wife and I found the Lord in doing that because we did it. We paid a price that God told us to pay. Am I telling everybody in here tonight, you must sell all you have and get on the road and take your family around? Absolutely not. You have got to hear the voice of the Lord. But some of you in here tonight, you know you've had some stuff that's been holding you back. And one of the reasons you're not finding any kind of movement in your finances is because you're holding too tight to it. And that's why the Lord's saying, when you release what's in your hand, I'll release what's in my hand. It doesn't work like this. It works like this. That's how it happens. Because you don't get attached to it. You say, it doesn't mean anything to me. Nothing we have right now is attached to me at all. Nothing. We have some stuff again. You can't get away from it. It's like Metroid. You know, I mean, there's the little game, the caterpillar, you shoot him and he keeps attaching himself to you and you can't get away from getting stuff. But see, the Lord does that so you can break it away. so you can be a blessing to bless others. And the reason we don't is because we say we don't have, but guys, God has given us stuff to give people. God has given us things so we can bless other people. Why? So we can advance the kingdom of heaven. Not so we can go sit on a beach somewhere and play golf. I hate golf. I do. I don't have time to golf. I'm a minister of the gospel. There's a whole world dying and going to hell. I ain't got time to do nothing. I got very little time to do something. And when you sow your seed, I'm telling you, it goes in the ground and it grows. And you'll see a return on it. Now, some of you, you've given this week, correct? And you've already seen some breakthrough in your finances, because I've heard little tricklings of people saying, I gave 6 days ago and all of a sudden this happened. It works. It's the only thing in the Bible that God says, test me in this and see that I'll come through. Like, you can't test God in anything except for giving money. Because it's the sole thing that He wants to show you, I am your source. The Bible says He owns cattle on 1,000 hills. What does that mean? That means you're an heir to the throne. So if you need something, you can go to your father and say, Lord, excuse me, let me remind you, I gave last week, and you said according to your word, he that sows bountifully, we just read it, reaps bountifully. But he that sows sparingly, reaps sparingly. Where's your treasure at? Where's your heart at? Are you trusting the Lord with everything you have? Or are you a person that just comes to church to see what you can get? Jesus said some pretty amazing things to the disciples that required them to make their own choice, and he didn't even explain it to them. Do you know there's one place in the Bible where the disciples turned to him and said, why do you speak to these guys in parables? Why do you speak to all these people in parables? He goes like this. He goes, because I don't want them to know what I'm saying. What? Yeah, I don't want them to know what I just said. Well, then why'd you say it? He said, he who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear. Because he's the one that will get blessed, or she's the one that will get blessed. Jesus said stuff like this. You must eat of me and drink of me. He says, you must eat of my body and drink of my blood. Now, when he said that in the midst of people, everybody went nuts and a lot of people left. And Jesus turned to the disciples, and then this is what Jesus said. He goes, are you guys going to leave too? Is there anybody? See, in the book of Luke, Jesus says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find any faith? What does that tell you and me? Well, there's another scripture. He says, in the last days, many will grow cold from the faith. It's easy to worship Jesus, lift up your hands, shout, sing, roll around. But when it comes to actually putting substance to what you're believing God for, that's another story. And that's when things begin to change. You see, impossible. This is just a prosperity message. Folks, Jesus was prosperous for one reason. Redeem the lost. Redeem the lost. Redeem the lost. Redeem the lost. People think Jesus was poor. He was not poor. The first gifts he got, frankincense, gold, and myrrh. I got a rattle. One time they needed tax money. He says, oh, just pull Nemo out of the ocean there. There you go. One time they walk into a city. He sends two disciples ahead of him. He says, tell that guy with the unridden donkey that I hath need of it. So they walk up to the guy and they say, the master hath need of the donkey. And the guy, it's like, I don't know, maybe they had a Jedi trance. The master hath need of the donkey. Like he was like, yes, master. I shall go away now. And then what did I just do? What happened? But he was prosperous so he could get the job done. Because folks, I'll tell you, it takes money, honey, bread, Fred, and dojo to do the ministry. We didn't get here by osmosis. I didn't like all of a sudden, hello! That didn't happen. I drove. You cannot have a revival and get away from this. Hear me tonight. You cannot have revival and get away from this. They work hand in hand. And God's serious about this money thing. You can't buy the anointing either. You simply give because the Lord is speaking to your heart and you have got to let go of some things. And maybe you don't even have. You still must give. You say, Roy, how can you stand there and say it? Because I give and I've given and I know what I'm talking about. I read the book. The end of it, it says I win. It says all of us win. If we do what the Lord tells us to do. Tonight you can sow into revival. Tonight you can sow into the move of God that's happening here. We have absolutely, both Vaughn and I right now, we are moving our calendar out of the way to see what God wants to do. We're going to go out in the streets. We're going to win the lost. We're going to fill this place every single night. It's going to get to the place probably by this weekend where you will not be able to get a seat. I'm almost positive by Friday night, you'll have to get here very early to get a front seat. Because we're going to set up downstairs in the overflow and use the TV for those that can't make it into the sanctuary. I mean, Monday night at 6:30, this place is completely packed. Monday night, people are hungry for God. Are you hungry for the Lord? Are you ready to make some changes in your life that maybe it could be possible, but that you are hindering the move of God in your own life? I had to come to that place because when we stepped out into ministry, I thought it was me that had the answers. And the Lord said, you're dead. You haven't trusted me. See, I used to get a paycheck every week from the church, from the place I led worship at. Every week I got a paycheck. Everybody knew me in the town. And I had to cut that all out of my life because the pastor's not my source. And let me tell you something here tonight, okay? And you hear me loud and clear. You that go to church, you that go to different churches and denominations, the pastor is not your God. And neither is the evangelist that comes through, neither is the prophet, the apostle, or the teacher. God Almighty is your God, and He alone is your source. See, pastors are nothing more than traffic cops. They go like this. Oh, come here. I want to introduce you to somebody. This is the Lord. Yeah. All right, let me help you up. Okay. You all right? Okay. This is the Lord. You want to get to know Him. All right, let me get out of the way. Okay, you're connected. Oh, you fell. Let me help you out. Hang on. All right, let me get you back up. All right. That's, yeah. Okay, you good? Okay, great. You fell again. My God. Come here. All right. Lord. God, yes. You got it. Amen. Try this. Ramasiki on the rabbi. Okay. You good? You good? You're cool? All right. Cool. Great. Rock on, dude. All right. Great. Do you understand? That's the job of the pastor. Not, hey, listen to me. I know him. No. Traffic cop. Evangelist. I'm telling you, he that is within you is greater than he that is in the world. He's got everything you need. I'm telling you, you need him. Come on. Teacher, let me tell you what you can do. There was once a man, apostle. You guys, let's get this thing together. All right. That's the fivefold ministry. Very simple. We make it hard. We make it difficult. But when you realize that God is your God, see, at the end of this life, you stand alone with Jesus. Nobody else stands there with you. Nobody. The first thing you're going to do when you get to heaven is give an offering. Did you even know that? It says in the Bible. First thing you're going to do is give an offering. You're going to take a crown off your head that represents all of your life and what you have done for the kingdom of God, and you're going to throw it at his feet and say, all because of you, Lord. All because of you, Jesus. So giving's like you leave this earth and you appear before the Lord, and the first thing you have to do is give. Are you with me tonight? Some of you are falling asleep. Poke the person next to you, tell them to wake up. Don't poke them that hard. Tonight, you can make a difference in your life and say, Lord, I'm sowing into revival. I want my town to change. Some of you pastors here tonight, if you're here, you can sow into revival tonight from your church and say, you know what? I want this to touch my church. I want to see hunger rise up again. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Say this with me. The Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Endures.
Say it again. The Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
And his mercy
endures
forever. Now make it personal. Lord, you're good. And your mercy endures forever. Do you believe it tonight? You have an envelope on your seat tonight. I want to give you an opportunity to give. You can give by way of cash, credit card, or check. Any major credit card, we can take that if you want. It's up to you. We are a 501c3 certified, so you will get a tax receipt from your gift tonight, your love gift. You're sowing into revival tonight. We do have some bills and things, but I'll tell you right now, and I don't say this is a gimmick. We've been telling people this the whole week. We mean what we say. My wife and I have been blessed in this place. My music has gone around the world. We sold over 30,000 CDs. They're still selling right now. Our store, once again, was packed out last night online. We send them out all over the world, and that has allowed us to carry a paycheck. So we draw a salary from our business of music. And the ministry, Run With Fire, all the love offerings that we receive go towards sending us to Australia and South Africa and for crusades and events and being here like this weekend. This is a Run With Fire ministry event. So none of that money gets paid to anybody's salary. So when you give, you're giving into souls. 75 decisions right here in Vineyard. Folks, 75 decisions right here in 5 days. And for those of you that are joining us, you know, we even took our own money out of the business and we put it towards England. And we went to England for 2 months, spent $75,000. That's a lot of money, but it ain't close to anything that we need to do what God's called us to do, because I have a big vision. And some of you need to get the big vision. Pastor Vaughn was saying it last night, that we need to stop thinking that we're tiny and go after the big. God's given you dreams. How many here have a dream? You've got to make that reality. How do you make that reality? You go after it. You apply faith to it. We went to England, Scotland, Wales, and Ireland. We saw in 20 cities, 46 meetings later, 1,557 decisions for the Lord. The UK got shook in 2 months. God TV aired our broadcast around the world the last 5 nights. We had people writing into us that were like, for one great, great testimony. We had a girl who was in a coma, and her mother was watching the program. She was in a coma, and she lost her sight. And she wrote into the program, I think it was the second day, honey. The girl was in a coma. Or the third day, yeah. And she wrote in. The producer came to me, handed me. We had all these testimonies. Came to me and said, listen, you got to read this. So I read it to the crowd, and I said, there's a girl right now in a coma here in England. She can't see. And wasn't it like hepatitis or meningitis? Meningitis. And her mom was just distraught and said, would you please pray? So the cameras are pointing at us. And I said, would everybody just lift your hands towards the camera? So we all turned. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I come against that spirit of sickness. Come off right now in Jesus' name. It was that simple. I believe what I said. You believe what you've received. And boom, it's done. And 2 days later, The same mother writes into us and says, the night that you did the broadcast, my daughter came out of a coma and received her sight back. I was so blown away. The place went nuts. We were hugging each other like it was New Year's Eve. Hey, listen, if your daughter was in ICU in a coma with meningitis and not seeing, and all of a sudden she came out, would you be quiet or would you shout? So when you, this is what your money goes into. When people sowed before we went to England, that's what it went towards. We're going after souls. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going after souls. Lord, if I have to work harder than any other evangelist, any other worship leader, I'm committed to it. I'm going after it. My wife and I are in agreement. We're in unity. My kids, there's order in the house. There's no sin that's actually seen on the outside. It's all... But tonight, we just ask, if you give, you give what the Lord says to give tonight. Let's just go ahead and bow our heads. We do this every night. And just ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me give tonight? How can I be a part of the end time harvest? How can I be a part of the souls? I want some of that in my account in heaven. And folks, I'll tell you, there is an account in heaven. You might not believe it, but when you get there and you're living in a shack and I'm in a mansion, you'll believe it. Some of you put your head up and you went, folks, I'm telling you, there's some people going to get up there, they're going to be sorely disappointed. Be riding skateboards around on the streets of gold. Other people be riding Bentleys down the street. And I'll tell you, heaven is not suffering debt. It's not. The Lord didn't say, well, we had to hock one of the pearly gates to make a payment on the streets of gold this week. We're really depressed around here. No, everything's fine in heaven. We pray tonight, let it be on earth as it is in heaven, Father. So just bow your head, ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me give tonight? How can I be a blessing? I want to bless others. Lord, I need a breakthrough in my finances. We always tell people, if you hear a big number, that's the Lord. If you hear a small number, that's the devil. If you're not sure which number's which, put them together, that's God. It's really easy. Amen. All right, lift your heads, look at me. Say this to me. Say, that wasn't so bad. See, it's really easy. Amen. Are you ready to give? Say amen.
Amen.
If you need more time, say, oh, wait. Okay, we'll wait for one person. Ushers, if you'll come forward to receive the offering tonight. Let me just give you a couple of things. Let's pray over the offering first. Take your hands, put it on your offering. Let's just pray tonight that God would bless it and multiply it according to His word, according to His riches and glory. Father, I thank you tonight for the seed that's being sown. I pray, Father, the same blessings that have been on our ministry and our life, Lord, that it would multiply in those that are giving tonight, in the hands of those that would give what they have out of their own treasure. And God, I pray, Lord, that this seed would go deep into the ground and it would produce much everlasting fruit in Jesus' name. Let it go into the highways and the byways. Father, call them in from the north and the east and the west and the south. And I pray tonight, Lord, that all of the people that have given tonight, Lord, that you would begin to work on their behalf even further towards removing debt. I even see in some people here tonight, lost money being found. I feel the Lord saying that tonight, that there's going to be some lost money that'll be found. I hear the Lord saying there's going to be some real estate that will come in some people's hands. There'll be those that have written out checks to some places and bills. They're going to call you up and say, you overpaid. I'm sorry. I feel that for some people here tonight. Let it be done tonight in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Are you blessed tonight?
Yes.
Amen. All right, just a couple announcements, and I'm going to call my wife up to preach tonight. How many enjoyed Melanie when she spoke last time? Chad, where are you, Chad? There he is. Chadro, would you get those email sign-up sheets real quick? We have a newsletter we put out. How many have been to our website, runwithfire.com? We are working as hard as we can to get all the pictures up, but we put them up every single night, and we update the thing so people around the world can see what we're doing here. And if you go there, we have a lot of cool things. You can read about some testimonies and see what the Lord's been doing with us. But it's a way to stay connected, not a way that we can just send you a plea of, please partner with our ministry. No, we're not sending you spam mail. We have sign-up sheets. Who would like to receive a newsletter from our ministry just keeping you updated? All right, why don't you go ahead and pass it around, Chad? If you'll fill your name in and your email address, we will put you on our monthly newsletter list, and you'll receive an update. And by the way, when revivals like this happen, and they sporadically have happened throughout our ministry the last 4 years, you'll get like this email buzz alert, and it'll say, warning, warning, there's revival breaking out in this city right now. Kind of like Kingston. And we're about to send it out tomorrow night for this weekend. I'm telling you, you better get ready this weekend. This place is going to be busting at the seams. So, do you know, we've already got reports of people that are driving up from Tennessee. People are coming this weekend. When they just hear the word go, we already have people that are coming up. And some are bringing up a couple groups from what I've heard. So it's going to be powerful. How many appreciate the worship team that's been playing this whole week? Can we just give them a great big thank you and God bless you? Come on. Now, if you want to partnership with Run With Fire, you can go down to the table, talk to Chad, say, I really want to partner on a monthly basis. That's up to you. We don't pressure anybody on anything. If you notice, we've never mentioned partnership in 7 days because that's not our focus. Our focus is to do what God's called us to do right here, right now. Can you say amen? Amen. All right. Evangelism tomorrow, I believe it's 2 p.m., correctly, right? Yeah. Friday night is going to be a special anointing service. We're going to lay hands on everything that moves. And I'll tell you why. I believe very strongly in impartation. The reason I'm even standing in the place I was is because I got around people like Lendl Cooley who laid his hands on me. He was the leader of the Brownsville Revival. He led all the worship for the Brownsville Revival. My pastor's Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. He laid hands on me. Ultimately, it's the Lord that did it. But see, God uses people in your life. And if you can receive an impartation, you can take that. And all of a sudden, you have the confidence of these other people that have gone before you. And you can do great works. Can you say amen? Amen. Am I telling the truth, Steve? I'm telling you, when you get around men of faith, it just gets on you. It's contagious. You can't stop it. It's a train. I got news for you, by the way. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train. So, just wanted to bless you with that. Well, that's it for me. I want you, if you would you stand to your feet real quickly? And I just want to give honor. This woman, she has homeschooled our children for the last 3 years. She's traveled everywhere. She's a mighty woman of God. She's not just coming up here because I just want her to speak. She's a woman that can speak and things happen. Some of you have already experienced that. But would you give a great big warm welcome to my wife, Melanie Fields.
Just say thank you to Jesus for what he's done this week. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in Kingston, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for how you've touched the people of Kingston. Thank you for the hearts that have changed and the families that have transformed. Thank you for the people that have been healed and the people that have been touched. And I'm happy to be here in Kingston. I was in a revival for 4 months. How many people saw the Lakeland revival? Wow. I was in that revival for 4 months, and just on my face, before the Lord, serving in any way I could. But I spent a lot of time just laying on the floor during the worship and encountering God. And how many here have a real heart and you just say, Melanie, I just want to have an encounter with God? How many here? Let me see your hands. That's what your heart is. I just really want to meet God. And it's not everybody that says that. You know that? Not everybody has that hunger. But I'll tell you what, when you get around people that are hungry for encounter, all of a sudden you find that you have this little hunger start to rise up on the inside of you. And you wonder, what is it about these long meetings that we have to sit in and coming night after night? And some of you are seeing major changes, and some of you are seeing small changes, and some of you see others touched, and you want that touched. You're just not sure how to get that. And you wonder, what is it going to take me to get that touch? Why am I excluded? Why does this person roll on the ground laughing, getting their lives wrecked, and I feel like I'm just hearing words? And you want what they have, but you just don't know how. And that's what a lot of our purpose is. Because you see, many of you got touched when you first got saved. Many of you had an encounter with God. And you had that something on the inside of you. You don't know what it was when you got touched. You just remember that there was this light, this spark, this flame, that it was so easy to talk to the next door neighbor about the things of God. Remember that? How easy it was, and how easy it was that when the preacher said this or that or the other, you just believed it. And there's a spark on the inside of you. And I'll tell you what, as far as testimonies go, I have so much that really I could share, but God's just been doing so much in me. And it's awesome to host revival. But it's even more awesome when revival just gets a hold of you and shakes you all up. Do you know what I'm saying? And I mean, this week, I've been in revivals around the world and had different things happen at different levels. And, you know, this week, I just told Roy, I just feel so undone this week. I mean, I just feel like God's just getting a hold of me. And he's just doing some things in my heart that I just never dreamed, feelings and things that I've wanted God to change and that haven't changed in 3 years of me pressing in and crying out to God. And it's like, you know, God, I do want everybody touched, but even leaders have to be touched. Even ministers have to be touched. And I don't know about you, but ministers sometimes, they get a touch from God. They get this fire, and then they go out full force with that, and they just keep going, and they just keep going. And they have this zeal and they have this fire and it carries them to this certain level. But at some point in time, they start to either say, I've got to have more of you, or they dry up. Because you can't go on this old flame forever. That's why the Bible says you must be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, continually. And if you need scripture to verify that, the Pentecostal church does one baptism in the Holy Spirit, and we carry that for our whole entire life. But I hate to tell you guys, it's not carrying people. It's not carrying our church. Why do you think people are sick and dying all the time? Why do you think people's finances are a mess? Why do you think the church is suffering and people don't want to come in? Because one baptism in the Holy Spirit isn't enough. What is the evidence? The apostles, they were baptized in the upper room, Acts chapter 2. Anybody remember that story? Now, what about this? What about that when great persecution came upon the apostles? Hello. The signs and ingredients for a great move of God. Persecution, desperateness, difficulty, hard times, depression, famine, earthquake, fire. Those things cause people to say, I need a fresh touch from God. If I don't get a fresh touch from God, I don't know if I can survive. If I don't get a hold of Almighty God, I can't keep going on. I can't keep doing ministry like this. I can't keep doing ministry on the old junk. I can't do ministry on the old touch. I can't do ministry on the old move of God. I have to have something new. I have to have something fresh. And in the midst of persecution, they cry out to Almighty God and say, God, remember your name. God, remember your word. Remember that you said to go out and to preach your gospel, to go out and declare the word of God. And remember and look and see how they have threatened us. So for your sake, sake, God, for your sake, God, for your sake, God, set us afire. For your sake, God, touch us afresh. For your sake, God, for the sake of the city, God, for the sake of the city, God, because it can't be done without you. It can't be done without you. It's the fire of God that changes things. It's not the how much we know. It's not the seminars. It's not the teaching classes. It's not the 40 ways to 30 steps to healing somebody. It's the fire of God. And you can be the simplest Christian in the world, and with the fire of God, you can change a whole entire nation. And what does it say? They gathered together in prayer, and the place was shaken, and they were filled again with the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the same apostles, the same people that waited in the upper room were filled again because they needed something. They needed something. And this was their continual prayer. Fill us. Fill us. Use us. Fill us. And what does it say about the apostles? They were full of the Spirit. I mean, how many people today do you know that you can look at them and say they're full of the Spirit? I mean, it's like people feel like they leak. Well, it's not really that they leak. They get full of other stuff, and they don't know how to yield anymore. And so when I say to you, I say, I'm undone. I'm undone. I feel like God's doing things in me because I know what happens to people. I know what happens to Christians. I know what happens to the ministry. I know how the enemy tries to take people out. I know what he does is he brings in subtle little hurts and offenses. He brings in subtle cares and worries of life. He brings in the subtle things, the things that people don't even notice, and he begins to pour them in your heart, and you begin to take them on as if they're your own, and all of a sudden you're so full of this junk of worry about your finances, of worry about your sons and your daughters, of worry about the ministry and how you're going to prop it up, of worry about your ministry and how you're going to hold it up, and how you're going to perform, and how you're going to do this, and how you're going to pull in the crowd, and how are you going to pay the bills? And God never called us to the ministry so we could worry about paying the bills and bringing in the crowds and doing this and keeping that program running. He called us to the ministry to be full of him, so full of him that when we walk out on the streets and we walk out into the pulpits and we walk out into the churches, the love of God and the fire of God just flows out on everybody else, because it's not in your own works. It's not in your own strength. It's in the power of God. And that's the purpose of revival. Some of you come in, and the first time you're in your revival, you see other people being touched, and you don't feel nothing because God's pulling stuff out of you. God's getting the junk out of you. If you remember in John, he talks about how to bear much fruit. It is through the cleansing of the water of the word. He said to his apostles, or his disciples at the time, you are already clean because of the time I've spent with you and the words I've shared with you. And what it is it's just a continual, let's deal with this. Breaking down of religious spirits, breaking down of mindsets, religion that was put in our head we didn't even know was put in there. The enemy so slyly snuck this one in on you, snuck that one in on you. When I got hungry for the move of God, and I got hungry, it was 3 years ago, we started on the road, and I said, God, I am so hungry for you. And all I know is people tell me that Brownsville's dead, that Toronto's dead, that every move of God at that point in time that had been big around the earth is no longer a move of God. And God's just not really moving right now. That's what they told me. It's not his season. And the way I look at it was, what hope do I have if it's not the season for God to move? What hope does the drug addict have if it's not God's season to move? What hope does the desperate, dying pastor have if it's not God's season to move? The alcoholic, the one who's being abused and raped daily by her father, what hope does she have if it's not the season for God to move? And I said to God, I said, God, I know that people tell me it's not the season to move, but I have to have you. I have to have a touch from God. I have to have a touch from heaven. And I began to pursue God with everything that was within me. Even though I was told that this thing was dead, that thing was dead, I said, God, whatever it takes, change me. And I remember stumbling upon this website, and it was so revolutionary to me. And it basically said, the biggest stop to the move of God is religion. And I said, you know what, God? I have been in the Brownsville revival. I've been in so many revivals. I've been touched. I've been changed. And yet I feel dead. Is it possible to go through a move of God and then lose that fire? To get back into religion, to get back into that dead, those dead works? Look at your life, folks. Look at what you're doing. Look at where you started out and the zeal and the zest and how easy it was to win souls. That's the quickest number one thing to really tell where you are for God is by your giving and your testimony. Are you sharing the testimony of Jesus Christ wherever you go? Are you on fire? Do you want to reach out to people? Do you have a love and a heart for people? Because your love and your heart for people is a direct reflection of your love and your passion for Jesus Christ. And so many of us, we get in this church system in America, and the church system is so different, but it's religion all the way around. And in the Pentecostal, charismatic, river, whatever you want to call it, circle, we get so focused on different things that we lose our focus on Jesus Christ. It's the most simple, basic message, and everybody hates to hear it, but let's put brass tacks where they really belong and say, is it really applied to you? If you were to shine the spotlight of Jesus Christ on your life, would it reveal that you're no longer on fire? That the fruit that he said about you that should be coming out is not really there? That's the purpose of the fire. That is why we need the fire. That is why the fire is so important. Without the fire, cleansing fire is what I'm speaking of. Cleansing, purifying fire that deals with the issues of your heart. You want to be on a collision course to get an encounter from God? If you want that, allow the fire to come. I stood on the stage in the Lakeland Revival. Stood on the stage, and I said, God, we need your fire again. And in my heart, I knew this could be disastrous to call down the fire of God. Because it is disastrous to call down the fire of God. But let me ask you, what would you rather have? To burn up all that junk now? Or to let that junk take you so far away that when you meet him and you're in the throne room, he says, I never knew you. Hellfire now? The fire of God now or hellfire later? The fire is so important. The fire is the ignition switch. The fire is the thing that sets you apart. When you talk to people and they say he's just a wacky Christian or that person has something I want. Do you understand me? There's many methods. There's many ways. There's many formulas. But there is something about the fire that when people look in your eyes, they can't explain it, but they know that you have something. You may not have all the gifts in the world. Hear me, church. You may not have every amazing spiritual gift like those leaders up there. But I'm telling you, there's many leaders in the body of Christ that have amazing spiritual gifts, but that's all they have because they don't have the fire anymore. And I'll tell you what, ministry is not worth it without the fire. Because if you don't have the fire, you will be destroyed. If you don't have his presence, you will be destroyed. You will be. Now, I feel an urgency from somebody, and I'm just going to ask this. I feel an urgency from somebody that's been struggling with alcoholism, and you've been wanting to be set free, and you came here, you believed you could do it. To now is the time. Who are you? Alcoholism. Who is it? Raise your hand real quick. I'm not putting you on the spot. It's just that God's timing because I've had it all night. Who is the person that you've been struggling with this alcoholic problem and you haven't been able to kick it? Just stand up real quick. Come on. Is that you? God's here to set you free. Don't be embarrassed. I mean, I always get this. People get embarrassed and then they come to me afterwards. But you know what? The power of God is so present when he calls it out. Who's free? Who wants to be set free from alcoholism? Alcoholism. 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 Come on, who is it? Quickly. Quickly. Alcoholism, you've been struggling with it. It's been a problem in your life, generation after generation after generation. Come on, quickly. God is such a change, just a changer of atmospheres. And he changes our life forever. Forever. It's the fire of God that breaks these things out of our lives. That changes these things. God's glory is such a wonderful thing, such a wonderful, wonderful thing. It changes lives and sets people free. It transforms and causes the glory of God. I tell you what, I'm actually, this is actually even amazing that I'm walking around today because my ankle was so sore today that I could barely even walk. I kept falling. And there's just the enemy attacking me. And I said, you know what, God? If he attacks me, I'm going to go and I'm going to do what you've called me to do. So if you're here and you felt you have this urgency about getting healed, is there somebody here tonight? You said, I want to get healed tonight. That's you? Come up here. Come up here real quick. Does somebody have a hernia as well? Do we have a hernia? Somebody with a hernia? Anybody with a hernia? You know what? I'm still getting that alcoholic problem, and I'm sorry. I don't mean to beat you up about it, but when God keeps putting it in my heart, there's a reason for it, and I've had to just share it over and over again. The last church, it was a girl that was suicidal and was cutting, and by the time she came forward, God did such a mighty work on the inside of her. It changed her around. It changed her life. Who has a hernia? Where's the person with the hernia? What is it that you want to be healed from? And sicker and sicker. You have heart disease?
Yes.
Okay. And what do you need to be healed from? Okay. Put your hands together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just break off the attack against this family. I break every generational curse right now against them right now in the name of Jesus. I say in the name of Jesus, heart disease, be gone now in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the fire of God on them right now. I rebuke that spirit that's been attacking you, brother. I rebuke that spirit that's been attacking you. It's been tormenting you with pain. I rebuke it right now. Fire go through them right now in Jesus' name. Fire go through them right now in Jesus' name. Fire go through them. And I command that heart to be reformed right now in Jesus' name. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I have a word for somebody that has been praying and seeking God for an encounter for years, for years. And you've been pressing in for years, and I really feel that God says that this is the time and the hour. But there are a few things he's asked you to get right, and I feel like you've actually started to do them in the last couple days, that you have begun to set in motion the things that God has been asking you to do. And I just want to tell you, whoever you are, you may actually be in leadership, and the Lord's just saying, get ready. Get ready for encounter. Set your affairs straight so that when the encounter comes, the Holy Spirit's going to fall and so saturate you. He wants you to set your house in order so that you're able to carry it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Carry it. Who is that? Is that you guys in the back? Is that it? Stand up real quick. He wants you to set your house in order so when the fire falls, you're able to carry it and sustain it. Because what will happen is if you don't know it's coming, sometimes you think you've got to do this and you've got to do that. He says, no, set it all aside for when the move of God comes, fire on them right now in Jesus' name. Fire on them right now in Jesus' name. Fire on them. The Lord says he's setting on fire also the man of God that you may run, that you may run, that you may run. And you will see a great leader of strong power emerge again in your area and in your town and in your region, for the fire of God is going to come and hit your place so that you will see the glory of God manifest, and those you've been praying for that need to be healed will rise up instantly in that second, for it is with the fire of God that things change. And what do you need to be healed of? Your eyes. Who else has eyes? I saw that earlier. Who else has eyes that's up here? Anybody else? Is it? I saw a lot of eye problems in this congregation. Come on up here. Come on up here, right here. Eye problems? Eye problems? Who else has the eye problems? Do you have an eye problem? You don't know? Okay. Put your hands over your eyes right now. I've got me some. You've got an eye problem too. You've had all kinds. Well, you're going to get messed up by God, aren't you? Put your hands over your eyes. And I really saw this earlier in the beginning, that God wanted to do a work with eyes. He wanted to do a work with eyes. Why? Because he wanted to use it as a sign to show you that he was ripping off the blinders, the things that have been holding you back for a long time, the blinders that the enemy has put in your way to keep you from seeing what it is that's holding you back from God. There's been a lot of blinders. There's been a lot of blinders. And this day, fire go through it right now. That's it. Fire go through it right now in Jesus' name. Fire go through it. I recreate. Oh, I break that right now in Jesus' name. The fire of God all the way from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. And other things too. Fire. Other things in there. Whatever that is. And other ailments inside. I break the attack of the enemy. I break the yoke. Every spirit of infirmity, I break you off this body right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Fire, God, go through her. That's it. Fire, go through her right now. Oh, rise up, for the Lord's called you also to win souls. Rise up. He's called you as a mighty harvester of the things of God and also to share the word of God and bring women around you and just pour into them. Pour into them. Pour into them. Pour into them as God has poured into you. You've come out of mighty, mighty situations, and God's just going to use you to pour into others. Mighty situations God's delivered you from, and he's going to use you to pour into others and pour into them right now in Jesus' name. Fire go through her right now in Jesus' name. Fire. Okay. Did you get a death sentence a couple years ago?
No, my mom did. I've been fighting with her.
Your mom got the death sentence. So you did get a death sentence, but on your mom.
Nine of them, and then she went.
And then she went. Okay. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, this spirit of Lyme disease that has also attacked, the spirit of infirmity that's attacked generation after generation, I break it off of her now in Jesus' name. I break every spirit of infirmity off this household, off of her family right now in Jesus' name. This same spirit that has attacked your family will not hinder you any longer in Jesus' name. Go. That's it. That's it. Just take it. Go. Right now in Jesus' name. Just take it.
Jesus, just let that anointing go from the top of her feet to the soles of her, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. I break every yoke right now. I break every yoke. Break every yoke. Break, break, break. And God's warning, that's it, just let him go. And God's warning just to you also to just bring fresh commitment to your life. Fresh commitment. Fresh commitment. Fresh commitment, he says. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. He will not fail you this time. He will not fail you this time. He will not fail you this time. And he has not hurt you. And he has not left you or forsaken you, for it is his desire to love upon you. Yes, the enemy has stolen much from you,
but his desire is to redeem you. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And yes, Lord, Father. Do that mighty work on the inside of her, for she has missed you. She has missed your close presence and the loving arms of her Father wrapping around her and feeling as if she is beloved, Lord. Just do that work. And I break every spirit of infirmity off this body. I break the Lyme's disease right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, also struggles that you've had, God's breaking them. Other struggles I see in your life, and God's breaking them. They will not keep you back anymore. He's doing a mighty work, a mighty work. The yoke on those eyes, I break them right now. Lord, I ask for the recreative power in these eyes right now in Jesus' name. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet right now. In Jesus' name. God can heal and heal and just truth. And he's bringing you back into the floor to the first one. And just to be in deep intimacy with him. So he does love you. And certain things that happen in your life, not because of him, because of the touch of him. Allow him just to change you and transform you. But it's his work, it's his desire. His work is his desire. His work is his desire. Why do you have a cane on you?
Because I have a double immune disease called myasthenia.
Myasthenia?
And it affects my muscles.
Okay.
It's hard.
Is it deteriorating your muscles?
Yes.
Okay.
And my swallowing.
Okay, and you're swallowing. Okay. You believe God can hear you?
Yes, I do.
Just actually in England, while we prayed for a lady, she had been paralyzed from her legs down, and we prayed for her, and she was standing there, and she felt the fire of God just come on her, and all of a sudden, she had no feeling from her legs down, and she said, "What is that? What is that?" And all of a sudden, she didn't know what it was. It was God just touching her, and she put her feet down and began to walk for the first time in a year because she'd been completely paralyzed, and it's not anything special. It's just the power of God. It's just the power of God. It's not because we're special. Do you understand that? It's not because we're special. It's not because we're perfect in any way. It's not because we do everything right, but because he loves you. Do you understand? And because when he touches you, he gets glory.
Yes.
He gets glory.
Yes.
Do that.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit, Father. And Lord, I just ask that you just release or break off the disease off her right now in Jesus' name. And I ask that you just break every attack on his body, and I ask for the muscles just to be restored right now in Jesus' name. I ask for the leg to be restored right now in Jesus' name, for the arms, Father, in Jesus' name, and I rebuke all pain right now in Jesus' name. And I ask for fresh, fresh anointing oil just to go from the top of her head to the soles of her feet right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, thank you for that fresh, 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 fresh anointing. Just let it rest.
Okay, so what is it that you can't walk very steadily? You have a hard time walking?
The myasthenia creates a great deal of fatigue and weakness.
Okay, are your legs weak right now?
Yes.
Okay, do you want to try it? Do you want to walk a little bit and see how it feels? Strengthen those legs right now in Jesus' name. I strengthen those legs. I strengthen them right now in Jesus' name. And I break
walking. It's just the exercise of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for your strength right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your strength right now. In Jesus' name, I break the back of that yoke right now. I break that yoke right now off her. I break that yoke off her right now in Jesus' name. How are you doing?
Well.
Do they feel better?
Yes.
They're getting better. Yeah, they're getting better. Now, you're not just telling me that so you don't have to keep walking.
No.
So you're feeling strength return? A little. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release again that anointing. It's a recreative anointing in her body from the top of her head to the soles of her feet right now. In Jesus' name, I break the back and the yoke of the enemy that's been on her body for years. The yoke of the enemy has been on her body, and I break you right now in Jesus' name. And I release fire right now. Remember the faithfulness of God. He has not forsaken you. That's it. Just take the anointing. Fresh anointing. You've got people behind you. They ain't going to let you fall. Father, just break the yoke, and I just release the energy of God right now through her body from the top of her head to the soles of her feet right now in Jesus' name. Drink it in. Fresh anointing fire in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And why are you guys up here? You want to. Jesus, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I just break off every sinus problem right now in Jesus' name. Father, I break the yoke of sinuses right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, also the other things that you've struggled with, I break them right now. I break the yoke of sinus problems and other struggles, things, says the Lord, the other things that have attacked you, I will break them right now. The things that have come against you, even in the night hours and that you've struggled against, God breaks that yoke right now in Jesus' name. I break off every yoke of the enemy right now in Jesus' name, and you're not going to struggle anymore with the fears and the attacks and the insecurities that have come into your life. God's doing that work to break those off right now. No more night dreams, terrors in the night, no more. I break that right now in Jesus' name, for he is the one who sets you free and sets you free in Jesus' name. 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 Who else is needing healing? We had a whole bunch of people. Come up here real quick. I'm just going to lay hands on you real quick. I tell you, I'm still getting that alcohol problem. Did you come up? Is that you? It's okay. Is that, yes?
Would you just stretch out your hands towards these people here that are receiving prayer for healing? Just lift up your voices right now. Begin to intercede for them. What do you need healing for? Oh, that's easy. Okay. So you have a problem in your neck, in your jaw and in your neck because of the accident and your feet. Okay, just lift your hands right now. Do you believe the Lord can heal you right now? Then we just come in agreement. God, you said, where two or three come in your name, anything they ask shall be done among them. So I take authority over this back and this neck right now in Jesus' name. I loose it right now.
Jesus, right through you, in Jesus' name. Touch her right now, and these feet as well, Lord. Let it go right through. I command these bones to line up with the Word of God from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, in Jesus' name. Fire right through you. There it is. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. It's yours. Sir. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Lift your hands. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Stretch your hands towards this man right here. Father, I thank you for his mother right now. I come against that spirit of sickness and disease. Use foul spirit of sickness and disease. I adjure you and I curse you in Jesus' name. Just like Jesus cursed the fig tree, loose her in Jesus' name. As he lays hands upon her, as he picks up the phone and talks to her, that spirit is broken in Jesus' name. Right through you, my brother. Right through you for your mother. Fight. There it is. Take it. Take it for her. Take it for her. What's going on? Who's next? You're next. What you got? Disc in your spine and neck. Uh-huh. Lord, what's going on here?
Hi.
Yes.
Well, I'm diabetic, so mm-hmm. it worries me.
You're on insulin?
Yes, I am.
You stab it and everything?
I have an insulin pump right now, so basically okay. It does the same thing.
Okay. Yeah. Just lift your hands. Honey, take your hands and put them on her stomach. You foul spirit of diabetes, I curse you right now. No more insulin intake. No more having to have a crutch to get you around. And I speak life into your body in Jesus' name. I break its power right now. Go in Jesus' name. There it is. Wow, I felt that myself. Jeevers. What's going on?
I've been dealing with an eating disorder.
What with what?
Eating disorder.
Uh-huh.
And it just keeps relapsing.
Okay, lift your hands to the Lord. That's an easy one. Close your eyes. You foul spirit, I command you this day, no longer torment this woman. She is a jewel in the Lord's crown. She's a heavenly treasure. She is sought after by the Lord. She is the Lord's. And I break your power, you foul spirit. I come against all your speaking negative to her and convincing her that she's not a woman of God. And I command this mind, you are not a mind of confusion, but God has given you the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind in Jesus' name. Go! There it goes. Right through you in Jesus' name. What's going on?
Psoriatic arthritis.
Arthritis? Where?
And psoriasis on my knees.
And okay, lift your hands. In Jesus' name, close your eyes. You just receive. I'm not the healer. Father, I pray right now, let every single joint right now in Jesus' name, let it just be loosed right now in Jesus' name. Fire! There it is, right through you, right through you. Melanie, oh, I need a woman. Quickly, quickly. Come, Grace. Just put your hand on her. In Jesus' name, I command every bone to line up with the Word of God, every muscle, every ligament, every blood vessel right now in Jesus' name. Fire right through you in Jesus' name. Right through you. There it goes. There it goes. Take it. Take it. Take it. Now have a drink. Glug, 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 glug. Off to Never Never Land, lady. Oh, yeah. Just take a drink. There it is. Yeah. Phil, fire. There it is. Just take it.
Thank you, Lord. I receive it.
What's going on?
I got this cold, and then I got burned abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I forget things.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and I know I want to be better with the law. I can read the Bible better. And it really is hard because I got a speaking parent too. Mm-hmm. And I know God wants me to do it. And, you know,
thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I speak life into his body right now in Jesus' name. You deaf and dumb spirit, I come against you in Jesus' name, and I command you to let this man go. You no longer have control. He belongs to the Lord. He belongs to the Lord. And I adjure you this day, and I command you to go right now. Loose right now. Right through him in Jesus' name. Go. Go. Get your hands off of him. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out right now. In Jesus' name. Jesus Christ of Nazareth lives in him alone. Yeah. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye. Off to dry places with your butt. What's going on?
Mental illness and cutting.
Okay, lift your hands. Close your eyes. Put them up to the Lord. The help comes from heaven. Father,
Just let the anointing go right through her right now, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. I hear the Lord saying, it's not over. It's not over. He has a plan for you. Yeah, 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 it's not over. No longer do you have to close the shades and make it dark any longer. I hear the Lord saying, rip the shades open and let the light pour in. For even as the dreams that I've given you, those are not from me, says the Lord. For the enemy would tell you that he's got a plan for you. Oh, but those aren't my plans, says the Lord. Know this day that I've called you. I've called you. You even have ministry, says the Lord, because I've put it inside of you. Even to speak to the young people, it brings you great joy. The reason is because that's what I've given you the call to do. So, Father, right now, I speak to this woman's mind right now, and I loose it right now. I command you, spirit of torment, right now. Go! Right now, in Jesus' name. There it is. Just take it. Just take it. Just take it. That's it. It's yours. Right now, in Jesus' name. Go. Go. Go, 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 go. See ya. Have a nice day. What's going on?
Huntington's disease. Mm-hmm. Hepatitis C. Mm. Degenerative bone disease. Mm. Valves that don't work right in the heart. And fibromyalgia.
Lift your hands to heaven right now. We had ladies healed of fibromyalgia all over Florida. Fibromyalgia is nothing compared to what the Lord can do. So just close your eyes, put it on heaven. Take your hand, put it there, because I can't. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, you foul spirit of disease, sickness, and poverty, I command you, go right now. See ya. Take it in Jesus' name. It's that easy. They have to go. What's going on?
Well, I fell a week ago and I cannot raise my arm. And I also got high blood pressure.
High blood pressure. Okay, lift your hands. Close your eyes. I pray right now you will have strength in your right arm. In Jesus' name. I speak to your cholesterol right now. Go. Drop. Drop. In Jesus' name. There it goes. Drop. In Jesus' name. No more. No more. Strength. Strength. I speak strength to your body. I speak strength to your body. Right now, I speak strength to your body. My God, your right arm's actually up higher than it was when you started out. Yeah, 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 yeah. Give him more, Lord. More, Lord. More strength right now. He's not finished with you. He still called you. You know this is true. You've had great dreams of what the Lord's had for you. You've even said, Lord, when am I going to get to accomplish that which you told me in the early years? He says, as you pick it up and you begin to run with it, it'll be greater in the latter than it was in the former, says the Lord. Thank you, Father. Just take that right now. Lift your right arm now. Lift your right arm as high as you can go. Bring it back down again. Bring your right arm back down again. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Lift it up again. I'm telling you, the Lord's strengthening it. Put it down again. Put it down again. I know there's a little bit of pain, but guess what? God's healing it right now. I'm telling you, I speak right now in Jesus' name. I speak to this arm right now. I speak to it right now. Form muscle, form muscle, form muscle right now. Creative miracle right now. Notable creative miracle in Jesus' name. Notable creative miracle in Jesus' name. Strength, strength, strength to his body, Lord. Strength to his body, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, just go like this. Just quickly do it. Go for 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 it. Do it again. 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 Yes, yes, Lord. Lord, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, do you feel pain? Yeah, you feel pain because it hasn't been worked out in a long time. What's going on? Is it better? Still hurts, but when's the last time you did that? Yeah. Give him more, Jesus. Right through you right now. Fire! There it goes. Right through you. Right through you. Give him more, Lord. He needs another drink, too. This man needs a drink. You work too hard. You work too hard. Too much stress. Too much stress. I heard the Lord saying he's going to loosen you up. He's going to loosen you up.
You ain't going to be the same. Tonight when you go to sleep, you'll wake up, you have the best sleep you ever had. You'll have to pinch yourself because you think you died and gone to heaven. Oh yeah, oh yeah, it's going to be better. It's going to be better. More strength to this arm, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's good stuff.
Thanks.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
What is your language?
Italian.
Italian. Arrivederci. Thank you. I don't even know what you said, but it sounded really beautiful.
See you tomorrow.
Huh?
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. All right, bless you. Bring a pizza, please. What's going on?
My eyes and my mind.
Your eyes and your mind. Let me see your glasses, sweet lady. Lift up your hands to heaven. Close your eyes in Jesus' name. What's wrong with your eyes?
I don't know.
You don't know? They're getting blurry?
Oh, yeah, they're blurry, but there's something. But he says he has to watch it every year.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil's playing, thinking, you know, with the mind.
Sure.
Terrible.
Let's take authority over it.
I love to witness to people.
Good.
I love to.
Close your eyes. You're going to blow that thing out of there. We're going to take authority over it right now. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
I'm just doing what the Lord tells me to do. In Jesus' name. I heard the Lord say, blow into her eyes. That's what I heard the Lord do. What's going on? Hey, darling. What's going on? Lyme? We had an assistant down in Florida had Lyme, okay?
And symptoms are like really
weird. I said had. But anyway, symptoms are what?
Are weird, like just the past month I've had like intense migraines.
Yeah.
And then
sick to your stomach, always having to throw up.
No, not sick, but just like intense and like my hips give out and then like my shoulder and like a bunch of weird. Really
and you find yourself bedridden for a couple days?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, I got it in like 07, so.
Okay, just lift your hands, close your eyes. Father, in Jesus' name. Touch her right now from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. You spirit of Lyme disease right now. Come out right now. Go. Go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I release her from this sickness. I come against you, you foul spirit. No longer to torment her. Go to dry places right now. Go! Right there. There it is. There it is. Right through you. Right through you. In Jesus' name. No more lime. From now on, lemons. Can we just give the Lord a mighty hand of praise? I'll tell you. What's going on? Fear. Oh, that's easy. Lift your hands. Close your eyes. Go! He's like, I don't know. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. What's going on?
I need to have a tooth replaced.
A tooth replaced.
I'm just going to trust God tonight that he's going to replace it.
Okay. Close your eyes. Lord, in Jesus' name. I speak a creative miracle into this man's mouth. I had five pulled myself. He doesn't need to go through that. So, Lord, right now, creative miracle. I speak, Father, a creative tooth right now in Jesus' name. You said anything we ask can be done unto us if we would ask. Do it now in Jesus' name. Fire. There it is. Take it. Take it. Take it. I want to hear the testimony on that one because I need some. What's going on? Stay there. You're fine. What's going on?
Anxiety.
Lift your hands to the Lord. That's an easy one. In Jesus' name, I come against you, you lying spirit, you panic spirit, you spirit of chaos. Go! Right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. come out in Jesus' name. There it is. There it is. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. It's yours, my brother. It's yours, my brother. Fire right now. Fire right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Are you coming? Well, you're limping. Operation. Come here. Lift your hands. Close your eyes. Lord, complete healing in this hip in Jesus' name. No more limping around. I'm going to see you run. I'm going to see you run. In Jesus' name, I command every bone, every hip, every leg bone. I want the tib and the fib to line up right now in Jesus' name. Go! Right there, right through you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Throw something over him, Chad. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Okay, we covered them. Thank you, Lord. Come on up. What's happening?
I have two daughters.
Two daughters.
36 and 38 years old. And they're under physical attack. One daughter went to the hospital emergency.
Mm-hmm.
160 over 110. Had all the monitors hooked up. No heart problems, but high blood pressure, just an attack like that. The other one has gastrointestinal.
Okay, are you trying to stand in the gap
yes,
for them?
I am.
Lift your hands.
Yes,
close your eyes.
Yes, I am.
When I forget it.
Oh, forget it. Oh.
What are you sorry about? You're going to lay hands on them. They're going to recover in Jesus' name. Look at this guy. Do it again. Let me see you go again. Go, go, go. Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on. Can we give a mighty shout of praise to the Lord? Hallelujah! Oh! She came up, she's like, oh, forget about it. It's done. Forget about it. It's a done deal. My daughters are going to get healed the minute I lay my hands on them. Hallelujah. That's awesome. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your healing power tonight. I speak complete restoration to every function of the muscle, the bone, the blood vessels, the nerve endings. I speak complete healing from the top of his head down to the soles of his feet. And Lord, I pray for the sickness and disease that's trying to come upon his lungs. Heal his whole body right now in Jesus' name. I command his body to fall in line with the word of God. I speak to his back, to every vertebrae right now. I speak to his legs, every bone, every ligament, every tissue, every muscle in Jesus' name. This is not your portion. This is not your portion. And I hear the Lord saying, I have called you. Beautiful are the feet that carry the word of the Lord. It's not yours to take. The pain and the anguish is not yours to take. And there have been things that you've taken. They didn't belong to you. I hear that for you, sir. You know what I'm saying is true, because I know what I'm saying is true. They don't belong to you. They belong to somebody else. And I hear the Lord saying, you've got to give them back. Now, I don't know what that means, but you apparently do. I believe the minute you do, you're going to see complete restoration in your body. That's the word of the Lord, my friend. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this man. I thank you for this man. And God, I pray tonight that you start a work. When he goes to sleep tonight, start a work. When he wakes up in the morning, start a work. In Jesus' name. My wife's going to lay her hands on you. We're just going to pray for you. Folks, stretch your hands out towards this gentleman right here.
To go from the top of his head to the soles of his feet right now. Lord,
do you mind if we lay hands on you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It was an accident. Was this an accident? Yeah, but this is an accident. This was an accident. I understand you were born that way. I'm saying it's an accident. It wasn't supposed to be this way. I'm telling you, you have a ministry that God's called you to do. And because of this, you have been mad at God. Sir, when I had asthma, I was ticked. I was ticked. I got so mad, I finally threw away my inhaler. For 4 years, I never had one asthma attack. My God can supply all your needs tonight. My God can raise you out of this chair. My God is the healer. I am not the healer. So I don't know what things that you have, but you've got to give them back. That's the word of the Lord for you. And I just pray right now, in Jesus' name, a complete reversal of the things that took place in your life. Everything that the devil's stolen, return 100-fold, Lord. I speak life into your legs. I speak creative miracle into the nerve endings coming out of the back into the legs in Jesus' name. I speak muscle. I speak muscle. I speak muscle right now in Jesus' name to grow, supernaturally grow. To grow, just like the man that was lame, Lord. You told him to rise up, take up his bed, and walk. I speak that right now over this man's legs, right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Turn this off.
Praise God. Let's everybody just stay focused on the Lord. Remember when Jesus worked miracles, he always put the people who didn't believe out of the room. That's why sometimes it takes late at night before God really starts working. Not saying the people have left or in unbelief, not saying that, but what I'm saying is, as many times that when God wants to do something awesome in anybody's life, yours or mine, I mean, I still need, I don't know about you, but I've been listening tonight. I've been listening to this little lady preach about the fire of God and how pastors get tired and weary. And we all do. The Bible says even young men get weary. Even young men get weary. And I've seen it. And let's just take a moment just to allow God to touch us one more time. You know, personally, I love the high praises of God. I love the worship as we've been led in these last week. But there's also a time when we must allow the presence of God to come upon us in that quiet place. And God wants to speak to us in a still, small voice. And He wants to talk to each and every one of us of just how awesome you are. That you are fearfully and wonderfully made. There's nothing about you that He's not absolutely wildly in love with. And so, Father, tonight I just thank for each and every one of us as we continue to wait upon you, Lord. That we don't think in any way that it's just a passive time. Or we're watching something else happen. But you're actually still giving to us. So, Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, that we are now on this receiving end of your glory, of your blessing, of your majesty. And, Father, tonight as I look in front of this congregation, I see nothing but the crown jewels of heaven. That you died for, that you paid for. Beautiful people. Beautiful people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I was reminded today as we ministered lunchtime with Women's Aglow, just keep your eyes closed. And my daughter was there and she mentioned a scripture that said that He will beautify the meek with His salvation. And I just want to encourage you, if you're saved, you're beautiful. And I'll be honest with you. Don't matter how old I get, how big I am, and I still look in the mirror and I realize that I'm a beautiful person. And so I want each and every one of you to remember that. There's nothing uncomely about any of you. Every single one of you. God thinks you're the most awesome thing. So keep focusing on these things. Any of you here the other night when Roy was talking about Peter Pan? Huh? And we forget that we were born to fly, man. We were born to fly. And I don't need no Tinkerbell. I got the Holy Spirit. And a little bit of that Holy Spirit in your life and you'll fly. Don't matter how old you are. Don't matter what you think, how you've blown it. I made a decision that on my tombstone, I'm going to have the scripture written. He saved us and called us. Because the day after I got saved, November the 4th, 78, and the next day, November the 5th, I knew I was going to serve God. Yet I'd never been to church, never heard a preacher. Didn't even know John 3:16. But I knew I was going to serve God. How did that happen? It was because inside of me, deep was already crying unto deep. Vaughn, you don't even, this is the first time you've ever heard my voice. You don't even know I'm talking to you. But there's a call of God upon your life, son. And at 29 years old, I made a decision to serve God. And I want to encourage you. You have a call upon your life. And not only is it a call, and I want to tell you, I've studied this subject very, very deeply. And it clearly talks about, it says, friends invite. But kings summon. And I want to tell you, the king has summoned you to himself. And you can come boldly into the throne of grace, just like Esther did. You can come knowing that according to the book of Hebrews, that Jesus himself is holding out a scepter of righteousness. And he's just saying, come, princess. Just come and touch the scepter of righteousness. And I will give you up to half my kingdom. The Bible says it is the Father's pleasure, delight, to give you the kingdom. So whatever way you're lacking, the kingdom of God has made place for each and every one of you. You see, friends invite, kings summon. And the summons depends on the authority of the person who's doing the summoning. If I get subpoenaed by the judge, you better believe I'll be there. I don't want nobody looking for me, chasing after me. But when the King of Kings summoned me on November the 5th, 1978, I said, thank you, Jesus. There's a call in your life, every single one of you. Don't ever forget it. You are blessed. Let's close our eyes one more time. Just say, Father, I thank you for saving me and calling me with a holy calling. A holy calling. That means man didn't give it to you. That means man can't take it away from you.
That's right.
And then the scripture goes on and says, not according to our works. Do you realize, no matter how much you've blown things in life, no matter how much you've messed up, how much you've lied, cheated, sinned, denied, the call of God upon your life has never, ever changed. He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His purpose. And His grace. I said according to His purpose. And His grace. That was given to you. As a gift. In Christ Jesus. Before the world begun. Now listen to me, saints. Keep your eyes closed. Soak this in. There is a call of God upon your life. That was given to you. Before the world begun. That means there's a call of God upon your life. Before you messed up, before your parents messed up, before your grandparents messed up. So if you're still living under some kind of thought pattern of generational curse, I want to tell you something. Generational curses cannot get past the blood of Jesus unless you believe they do. Why don't we start believing in generational blessings? And it's a direct line. Jesus, you. What's your genealogy? Jesus, me. That's it. Nobody else. Who's your father? God. It's Jesus, you. Direct line. Having been born again. Not of a corruptible seed, not of an American seed, not of an English seed, not of a black seed, not of a white seed, not of a male seed, not of a female seed, not of a Hispanic seed, not of any, not of a corruptible, but an incorruptible seed. For as many as received Him, He gave them the authority to become children of God. That's who you are. You are a direct line. Jesus, you. Oh, but you don't understand my parents. You don't understand my father. Sorry, I know your father. He's the same as mine. And it's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Because He saved you and called you with a holy calling. Not according to your works. But according to His purpose. His purpose. And His grace. That was gifted to you in Jesus. Before this world begun. So Father, I thank you that tonight we're being reminded that you've given each and every one of us a gift. Don't look about somebody else's gift. I'm talking about your gift. Because I tell you something, you can't have my gift. It's mine. I can't have your gift. It's yours. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just keep allowing the Spirit of God to minister to your heart. Wash your mind.
Lord, thank you, Lord. I want everybody to bow your head tonight. Close your eyes. We've gone a little bit later than normal, but Nothing's normal in the last 7 days, so. But with every head bowed here, guys, I want you to put on number 4 on black. With everybody's head bowed and everybody's eye closed, I want to ask you a question. I want anybody looking around tonight, keep your head down, please, in respect of other people. But I want to ask you a question tonight. We've been asking every night. If tonight you walked out of this place and you were to lose your life and you were to cross over from this place into eternity, I have to ask you to get real with yourself tonight, because there is a hell to shun and there's a heaven to gain. But tonight, if you lost your life, could you say beyond a shadow of a doubt, within your heart of hearts, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you would spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ? You've heard the message tonight. You've seen people get healed tonight. You experienced the Holy Spirit in worship. But you know in your heart of hearts you're not right with God. Tonight is the night. There is a scripture that Jesus said, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And tonight you can call upon Him and He will save you. He will let you feel His presence and you will go to a place called paradise with Jesus. If that's you tonight, you don't know, you say, Roy, I don't know where I'd go if I'd die right now. I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Just lift your hand and say, Roy, that's me. Thank you, dear lady. Thank you, dear lady. Thank you, sir, in the second row. God bless you. Anyone else tonight? I don't know where I'd go. I need to know Jesus. I see your hand. Thank you, lady. Anyone else tonight? Anyone else tonight? Then I want to ask you a second question. If you've already answered the first, don't raise your hand. But maybe you're here tonight and you have already asked Jesus into your heart and it's been years and you've grown cold. You've backslidden. You're no longer finding yourself on fire for the Lord. When you pray, it's like the heavens are like brass. Jesus said in the last days, many will grow cold from the faith. They won't even believe anymore. He said in the book of Luke, when the Son of Man returns, will He find any faith? But tonight, you can make it right with the Lord. You can get your heart straight. And you can say, Lord, I'm hungry for You again. I'm desperate for You. Bring me back to You. I must know You like I first knew You. If that's you tonight, and you want to make it right with the Lord, and you've already accepted Jesus, but you've grown cold, you've backslidden, you're not living for Him, but tonight you want to rededicate. That's it. I got to get it right with the Lord, Roy. Will you pray for me? Just lift your hand right now. Roy, will you pray for me, please? God bless you. I see your hand. Thank you for your honesty. Anyone else in this room tonight? Anyone else in this room tonight? I've backslidden, Roy. I must get it right with the Lord. Just lift your hands. Nobody looking around. All right, then I have a third and final call for you tonight. Maybe you've asked Jesus into your heart years ago, but you've backslidden so much. Now you have begun to live a double life. Now you're knowingly living this double life, and people look at you and you smile when you walk in the church. But inside, you're living in sin. Maybe you go back to your home, and when everybody's gone, you turn on the computer and you log on to pornography. Maybe you're still an alcoholic and so you drink mouthwash before you come into church so people won't smell that you still have sin in your life. Maybe you smoke cigarettes and you destroy your temple. You told everybody you've kicked the habit, but you haven't, because you go home and you do it when nobody's looking. My friend, that's called the iniquity of the heart, where it's between you and God, and that's the worst sin of all. Iniquity is the hardest thing to get rid of, but tonight you can do it. The Bible says that a house divided against itself cannot stand. You cannot lead a double life, sir. You cannot lead a double life, madam, because your life is already being destroyed and you know it. You hear voices in the nighttime. You have nightmares every single night. The condemnation is loading itself up on you. The guilt and the shame is toppling up on you. You've even had suicidal thoughts because you felt like you couldn't do this life anymore. That's how bad this stuff is. It'll get on you. It's like a cancer. And it will rob you of the life that God has for you. And God is so strict about this. He said, because you're not hot or cold, I'm going to spew you from my mouth because you're lukewarm. Folks, it means that we make him sick to his stomach. He doesn't even get to stand in our sight. He can't stand it. But I got a good news for you. The Bible says a righteous man falls seven times but gets back up again. And if that's you tonight, you can ask the Lord, Lord, I don't want to lead this double life anymore. I want to make it right with you. I'm tired of fighting these battles. I have to have victory in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, would you say, Roy, that's me? Will you pray for me? Just lift your hand real quickly. Thank you, sir, for your honesty. God bless you. Thank you, sir, for your honesty. God bless you. Best decision you could have ever made. Thank you, dear lady in the back, for your honesty. I see your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else tonight? This is the night to take care of these things. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. All right, I want all three of those calls. If you answered any of those three calls, I want you to stand to your feet right now and quickly come to the altar. I want to pray with you. Quickly, come. Come now. This is the time to deal with it. There might not be another time. This is the time to deal with it. Just come quickly. We want to deal with these things. Just come gather in here. Ushers, if you come and help me, just stand right there. It's okay. Come in, come in, come in. Lift your hands to heaven. That's where your help comes from. Close your eyes. Anyone else in here, you're looking up here and your heart's beating and you think you're not supposed to be up here, but you know the Lord's dealing with you. Come quickly. Come quickly. Now's the time. Guys, let them in if they come in. I want you to put your eyes on Jesus up here tonight. Don't put them on me. I'm not Jesus. I can't heal you. I can't save you. I'm just a messenger. I bring the good news of the gospel. And if you mean business with God tonight, he means business with you. If you're ready to stop doing what you've been doing, if you're willing to trust him with your heart and your life, I'm telling you tonight, he will change you. The view will change around about your life. Because the battlefield's really not in your life, it's in your mind. So we're going to pray for you as well. Now every person here, lift your hands high to heaven in surrender to him. Both hands. I want you to say this with your heart and with your mouth. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight. I mean what I say tonight. I'm not kidding around, God. Tonight, I recognize that I'm a person, I can't even hear you, I'm a person in desperate need of a Savior. And I recognize tonight, without you, I can't even do this life. I can't do this life without you, Lord. You said in your word, that if I confess with my mouth my sins, that you would forgive me. I confess to every demon in hell tonight that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I'm a child of the living God tonight. Devil, you have no part of me. Your days are numbered. Your days are over with me. I serve the Lord. And Holy Spirit, I pray tonight, I ask that you would come and wash my heart. Take out the heart of stone. Put in a heart of flesh that I can love again and I can feel your presence again. I ask you tonight that you give me a holy boldness for the things of God. Use me to forgive others as you've forgiven me now. Tonight, I'm saved, I'm delivered, set free, and I'm on my way to heaven. I've got work to do. And Lord, I tell you tonight, I will tell every single person about what you've done for me tonight so that they may also be saved. I mean what I say, Lord. In Jesus' name. Now just lift your hands and thank him for his mercy right now. Just thank him for his mercy right now. Because you were headed one way. And all of a sudden he got your attention tonight. Come on, thank him from your own mouth. Don't try to convince me. He's your Savior. He's either really your Savior or he's not. Isn't that awesome? Just tell him, thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you for resurrection power. I can overcome now because of what you've done for me. In Jesus' name. Now, I want everybody here in this altar, I want you to look me square in the eye. Okay? I do this all over the world. I travel all over the world to forgive people their sins. You know why? Because Jesus said, if we don't forgive people their sins won't even be forgiven. Which means he's given us the power to forgive people their sins. And you prayed tonight, Lord, forgive me. And now that you've forgiven me, help me to forgive others. So you have to go release the people that have done wrong against you and forgive them. That's the way this thing works. It's not just a prayer down here at the altar and then you go back home and everything's the same. No, 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 no. Every demon in hell heard what you said tonight. Every angel heard what you said tonight. And I want to tell you, as a minister of the gospel tonight, because of your confession, ordained by the Holy Spirit, by the power of God, I tell you tonight, as a minister, your sins from this night and all of your past are forgiven you now in Jesus' name. It's over. It's over. Just lift your hands and thank Him. It's real. It's done. The slate's clean tonight. It's done, dude. It's done, dear lady. It's done. It's done. Now, don't get all excited at once. It's only going to get better tomorrow morning. Come on. Lift your hands one more time. Let me pray over you. Close your eyes. Let me pray over you. Father, I pray right now that you mark them with your Holy Spirit, that you brand their heart with the mark of the Holy Ghost. Don't let not one of them get off the path. And I pray you aggravate them, antagonize them, disturb their sleep in the nighttime with the plans and purpose that you have for them, that you're not finished. He that began a good work is faithful to complete it in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now listen, I want you to do me a favor. Pastor Vaughn is right here. I want you to turn around and follow Pastor Vaughn and Gary. And they're going to take you right back into the room. Don't get out of this line. They're going to pray with you very briefly. And they're going to talk with you. If you just go right now with them real quickly. Don't get out of the line. Go ahead right this way. And then you can come join us for the rest of the service. If you just go right that way with Pastor Vaughn. Go for it. Can we give the Lord a mighty shout? My God. Is that the best you've got tonight? Hallelujah. All right, everybody stand to your feet. Let me pray over you before we send you out. 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. We're going out on the streets. How many have enjoyed Melanie's word? Melanie and I have traveled on the road for 4 years. We know what it's all about to go out on the streets and to win the lost. We went into one city in Scranton, Pennsylvania, right down the road from you guys. And in one afternoon, we saw 30 people come to the Lord. And 10 of them came to the meeting that night. And one family stuck on a Sunday afternoon. And now their lives are completely transformed. So, don't tell me it's not worth it, it ain't going to work. You show up here at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, I want you to tell everybody that you know about the meeting tomorrow night. We're giving up Baltimore, Maryland to be here. We're giving up Front Royal, Virginia to give here. I mean, I got to put up with this too. You know, I got to call them and tell them, sorry, I'm not going to make it. Why? Revival's broken out in New York. So, tell everybody you can. This whole weekend, Friday night is an anointing night. We're going to lay hands on everything that moves in this place. Impartation night. I believe the same passion that's on my life, it can be contagious and get on your life. So when you open your Bible, the scripture, bam, comes across to you with power. Can you say amen? Lift your hands to the Lord. God, I thank you tonight for every person in this place. I pray a blessing over them. Supernatural sleep tonight, Lord. I pray your traveling mercies around about them. And I also pray for them that you aggravate everybody's heart. Intimidate everybody's heart with the plans and purpose that you have for their lives. Don't let them get away from the call. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said with a big shout, amen. Come on, give them one more shout of praise tonight. God bless you. See you tomorrow night. God bless you.